Good evening. This is John Batchelor. The show begins tonight in Times Square, looking wonderful. Times Square 50 years ago was challenging. I was a young person, and it was very challenging. It was risky. It was dark. It was not well lit. And the arcades and the hotels were not sparkling. The theater district was there, but it was a rough patch, the 1970s. There was a place in 72nd Street, Needle Park, named for all the very bad stories about heroin addiction. And Times Square wasn't any better, just more spread out than Needle Park at 72nd Street. But today, glittering, and yet an incident, January 27th. There is a shelter there, converted hotel perhaps, I'm not sure what it is, for migrants. All over the city, migrants have been given beds and hotels and something for winter. It's not clear where they're going. There's a hotel there, and there were a gathering of young migrant males in front of it at some point. And two policemen approached, and then the questions about what happened. Eventually, two policemen were pushed around. One was kicked on the ground. However, the incident is not told straightforwardly by the police ever since, at least according to the footage we now have from a body cam that one of the officers was wearing. There are many unanswered questions here. I speak with Harry Siegel of The City, an online journal. We'll come back to this in subsequent weeks. It's a very difficult topic, but it was not on the video what the police said it was. You can see for yourself. The video's online. California. Governor Newsom tells a story of spying a Target shoplifting event while he was at Target. Again, mystery. Bill Whelan's here to tell the story. Why no one stopped the shoplifter? Where was the governor's security detail? Why did he make a to-do of the fact, hey, that guy's shoplifting? Why did he have an exchange with the clerk where the indication was, well, we don't stop them because, governor, odd that we have it. Bill puts it together with other incidents that we have from Governor Newsom. He's a vivid political figure, and he is very popular in California, which makes him a national player. Odd story. Selena Zito reporting from Pittsburgh about the decision by the White House to ban permits or stop permits of the new liquefied natural gas ports. Completely at odds with the people of Pennsylvania's work habits. There are 100,000 direct jobs from natural gas in Pennsylvania. And the major politicians, John Fetterman, Bob Casey, are speaking out against the White House's decision. More of this. And then to Lorenzo Fiore in Milano, discussing the protest by the farmers against the Meloni government. They want more remedies, more subsidies. There's also the complaint in Italy getting ready for summer season that there was over-tourism. There was defacement of architectural gems like the Colosseum. There were tourists swimming in the Trevi Fountain in Rome. Unacceptable. What is to be done? More patrolling and more cooperation from the tourists. Italy is a joy, and abusing it is not acceptable. Pacific Watch joins about the Vegas extravaganza for the Super Bowl, and a problem has developed. They're out of private jet parking. They have to disperse the private jets. There are too many in the region, in the state. Send them elsewhere. Drop off your passengers and go elsewhere because we can't park you here. And then to Hamilton, North Island, New Zealand. My colleague Ruben Steff reports on the economy there is doing fine. They need more immigrants. It's a long way from New Zealand to New York City, but it was fun to talk. Every couple of weeks, Ruben and I will meet and we'll talk about New Zealand, the Kiwis, and their position in Oceania. And also the next time we'll talk about migration and the Maoris and the Chinese. Part of the Five Eyes, New Zealand. A conversation with Richard Epstein about the Supreme Court and the 14th Amendment, Section 3, the presentations by the two counselors within these last hours waiting a decision. Also about the 25th Amendment, Section 3. A story that emerges from the president's difficult presentation within these last hours, his reaction to a report on classified documents found at his residence and his offices at University of Pennsylvania. 25th Amendment is about the president stepping aside voluntarily or not because of the word unable to discharge his duties. A story, a movie story, but still, there it is. And then the second hour, the second half, the final half, my conversation with author Ronald White, his biography of Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain, called Lawrence, Professor Lawrence Chamberlain, and then President Lawrence Chamberlain of Bowdoin College, his alma mater, famous in history because of his 90 minutes at Gettysburg, but he had a full and difficult and challenging life afterwards. He was still a young man, in his 30s. He served 4 years as governor of Maine. They elected every year in Maine. And then many years at Bowdoin as the president, expanding educational opportunities, and then an entrepreneur, and then a moment in 1880 when he stood up to a mob at Augusta State House. A heroic man who lived with a brutal wound that he got at Petersburg in 1864. It never was solved. He lived with infections, exhaustion, pain. Died in 1914. He died of his wound, is the opinion of the medical personnel at the time. Last man to die of the Civil War, 1914. And then a conversation about the economy in Lancaster County, the best county in Pennsylvania, says Jim McTague. A lot of geezers, says Jim McCade, and the diners are full with geezers, and they do very well in Montgomery County. The housing prices are up. The geezers, that would be the boomers, that would be me and Jim, our cohorts, have cash to spend, and they spend it. And also big business at the Costco, getting ready for the Super Bowl. And then a conversation with Henry Sikorsky about theater nuclear weapons from 1953 when the first tests were made for the Honest John rocket and the M-65 atomic cannon all the way to today, the announcement that the U.S. is going to deploy B-61 gravity bomb nuclear weapons to the RAF field in Suffolk in England. What are theater nuclear weapons for? What is the story? Are they going to be used against what? Against a Russian army in Poland? Against a Russian army in Vilnius? I don't think so. It's odd business, all these weapons all these years. I talked with Henry Sikorsky about why. Why did they build weapons they can't use? This fantasy of breaking up a military concentration. No military concentrations, not the war in Ukraine is teaching us. You fight with drones, you fight with cyber, you fight with missiles. You don't concentrate anything. 3, 4, 5 men in a foxhole, in a trench. It's a hybrid war. It doesn't look anything like they imagined in the 1950s. So what are the theater nuclear weapons for? We know the strategic weapons are useless. You're not going to destroy a city. What's the economy worth to you after the war? Everybody will be poor. Everybody will be in famine. You're not going to use a weapon, a city buster. But what are you going to use a nuclear? It's a debate Henry and I have. And finally, Bob Zimmerman. Farewell to ingenuity. Not really farewell. It sits there until there's a Smithsonian on Mars. It's the Wright brothers of Mars showing the way for all the helicopters to come. And Dream Chaser, finally, after all these years, Dream Chaser to test a low Earth orbit to ISS, an alternative to SpaceX and Blue Origin. And there's more to the show. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you.